S&S service costs that would come into the new department, because they're assuming the responsibility for collection agencies and debt consolidation and so on. That was formally done by the associated boards. And then there's ASSD charge reduction for those collection agency and debt consolidation services. The PERS adjustment, decision package adjustments, and adding the pawnbroker's costs. Pawnbrokers were not in the Blue Book figures. The cost is expected to be around $7,000, so we bumped those back in there. The difference then in FTE is 15 from the governor's revised recommendation. Those 15 are 1, an examiner 3 for the credit unions that we're recommending you not fill, and 14 positions that relate to anticipated legislation, something that's not passed yet, but at some point may before this session is over, in which case we believe the department ought to come back to you with a specific request for funding for whatever legislation occurs.
Department.
The capital outlay request was for portable personal computers for the bank examiners to use when they're out on examinations. And that was a recommendation that was included in the Financial Institutions Division Task Force report on the basis that it would increase their productivity to have these tools available for examinations. So we feel like that would be something that should be considered to be added then.
And what kind of portable computer would it be?
Yeah. Kind of Representative Jones had.
Mine don't cost as much. But
no, but
a couple of hours.
Depends on which end of the stick you're on.
It requires a certain amount of analytical skills that are unique to Representative Jones to be used totally effectively.
I don't know if they had a specific computer identified there. The new technology is to have computers that are small enough that you can carry around, that are quite portable, that you could put in financial data.
Okay.
And
I'm trying to get an idea. I guess it would be some of the smaller models, not a totally portable computer, but hey, it's have, say, a 250K memory or something, but a smaller one, but that could do more sophisticated calculations.
My understanding, Mr. Chairman, if I may, this is a technique that when the task force was on the road, so to speak, trying to learn how to do this work better, that other examiners are going to will require some training and some capital outlay to get this program into the 20th century.
I say let's do it.
Mr. Chairman, it sounds like it's consistent with what the department's already explained to you as their expectation to get more work out of fewer bodies.
Yeah, that makes sense in view of the rather dramatic tests that they've had to take. I think we should put that in. Okay, other than that. Okay, Sarah Hannon.
You want a motion to accept this?
Sure. Sarah Hannon moves.
Wait a minute. Oh, yes. I'll be glad to do it. I want to ask a question. $1 million in the shortfall in the financial services, are we just recovering that through reductions?
Yes.
That's how we're meeting the deficit for this biennium?
Going into next biennium.
Oh, so, okay, so the deficit was going to occur on July 1st.
Actually, it would probably show up about August.
Yeah. Okay. And part of that will give you the flexibility to use the money as we discussed last week. I just want to make sure I'm understanding everything, so in case a question should arise, I know how to respond.
Yeah, they're going to probably require a loan.
Yeah, but
and they'll do that.
Nonetheless, they'll be able to obtain it and do it
easily.
This.
Okay. Yeah, and they won't need.
I would move the LFO recommendations on the insurance regulation and the financial institution.
Okay, Senator Hannon moves the LFO recommendations as adjusted to show a restoration of $5,823 in capital outlay for the functional areas of insurance regulation and financial institutions regulation. Objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Now, we had some other language in the statute, didn't we?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there are several amendments that you discussed, and I've tried to keep track of all of them, so I think that's probably a good time for us to take a crack at those and run through them, see if I'm on the mark on these. If each of you have the A engrossed version, it might help. Well, let me begin by saying there's an overriding issue here that I think you've resolved, but I want to be certain of it, and that is the extent to which the interest that's earned on the single fund that you've already endorsed goes to the fund as opposed to the general fund, which is now the case. And in this bill, not only does the interest go to the new fund, but also any penalties that are in income from penalties that are assigned go into the new fund and not to the general fund.
An unusual move for the Ways and Means Committee. That's my understanding. We normally retain interest in the general fund, but in this case, we'd recommend we not.
Okay.
Who recommends?
Well, Representative Jones.
I don't know, we've talked about the Ways and Means, but this started way back in 75, retaining earnings in fact of the matter, in the brand account, which was all private funds going in, but they were going to the general fund. We tried for about three sessions to get that moved. There's been several. From the general fund to stay in the fund that they created.
Yeah, it's been a couple.
But I don't know who did it. I don't really know who did it. Whether it's the Ways and Means.
Yeah, the one happened on the House floor just the other day. Didn't manage to get referred down here, and it was lost for $400,000. But normally we don't allow that to happen. And this is a unique situation, however.
It's only a point that I bring up so that it's clear that that's your intent, that the bill go forward with the interest accruing to the insurance and finance.
Well, in order to make our discussion work, when we talked about interest and we spent a lot of time, when we created the one fund, we wanted an accounting system that could provide interest owing funds that might have been borrowed for other purposes. And that's one of the reasons that I think we have to go ahead, take it out of the general fund, to allow that philosophy to extend, because that, I think that's part of that rather significant agreement to establish a single fund. That's the logic driving it.
Okay, much.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I certainly don't have any problem with doing that. I think I made the statement the other day that it could make the difference between maybe raising fees
and we hope it does.
And with the expenditure limitation and so on, I'm sure if they don't need it, they won't.
All right, Mr. Chairman, much of what's in this bill is resolving conflicts between the newly created department and references to the supervisor of the financial institutions or the supervisor of credit unions into financial institutions and so on, and there are more amendments of that conflict resolution nature than what you see in here, so we're going to have to spend more time for legislative council to do some more of that. Those all are not all captured in the A engrossed version here. Probably the first thing that you would want to talk about is the references to pawnbrokers on page. Let's see. Page one. Describes for you where the amendments are, and it talks about all of section 726 or chapter 726 and then in the tail end of the bill there are repealed several sections within chapter 726. That whole chapter discusses pawn brokers, and I believe what's been decided here is that the pawn broker statutes will remain unaffected by this new department, other than to change terms like supervisor to director and so on to resolve those kinds of conflicts, but that the new department would continue to have the same kinds of responsibilities for registering and to some extent regulating pawnbrokers, same responsibilities as were held by the former Department of Commerce.
For the next biennium, and the understanding is that we're seeking interim work that will make a real program out of this in its law enforcement role.
Right.
That's the reason the subcommittee did not wish to end it at this point.
Right. That would be by letter to the leadership, is that correct?
Then, Gary, do we bracket out the 726 statutes here on the front page?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, there wouldn't be amendments other than conflict resolution to 726 on the front page, and then on the very, very last page.
But I'm saying these are repeating, so,
right, so
we got to bracket them out of the summary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
The actual language that repeals them is in section 85, which is the next to the last section. You'd want to delete all of those references to repealing.
I think it would help, aside from the letter to the leadership, to in the budget report to indicate the subcommittee's intention so as not to hang this on the agency next session. So when the next legislature opens up their little budget book, they'll see a budget note that says pawnbrokers aren't supposed to be here anymore. Sir Henry.
I think it would be helpful too if we were to add to that the study would encompass secondhand stores and antique stores as well as pawn brokers.
Yes.
I think it'd generate more revenue and bring them all under the same set of standards.
Catch more crooks.
Well, what about the legitimate antique shops, which I have a lot of in my district? I'm going to start regulating them, aren't we?
I think. We can have it studied and looked at and defined what is, and it may be very difficult to try to discern what is a legitimate antique store.
The thing is, you can probably talk to any law enforcement officer, and they can give you a list of stores that they know are problems. So it seems like there's a way for them to define what it is that characterizes that store. I think that's the way in which you'd approach it.
I think you pretty well stated my case.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll have both budget language and letter to the leadership on this.
Yeah, I think it's important that it stay with the budget. Yeah. They'll appreciate that.
All right, on page 5 of the A and Gross version in line 9, there will be a deletion of, wait a second, line 9, we would insert language which would say that all monies collected or received by the fund shall be paid into the state treasury and credited to the fund. The first line creates the fund. Now you're saying any revenues will go into the fund, and into the treasury to the credit of this fund. Then in line...
Wait a minute. If I'm reading this, it says, beginning line 8, there is created in the state treasury a fund to be known as insurance and finance fund separate.
Right.
From the general fund. That's what we want to maintain.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes. And then all money...
Monies in the fund may be invested in the same manner as other state monies, meaning interest earned shall be credited to that fund.
Yes. I'm suggesting that you insert there, though, after, separate from the general fund, a statement that says all monies collected or received by the department shall be paid into the state treasury and credited to the fund. You create the fund, and the department has helped with this language. And then you say, once you created the fund, any revenue goes to the state treasury credited to that fund. It's just a further clarification.
Yeah.
I think
that's right.
And then we would continue to say that monies earned shall be credited by the fund. I think there is another caveat, though, that you could put into line 11, following that statement about interest earned shall be credited to the fund, and that might be a statement to the extent that the department shall keep a record of all monies deposited in the fund, which shall indicate by separate account the source from which the monies are derived, the interest earned on each account, and the activity or program against which any withdrawal is charged. That's not in here. So it'd be further defining what, how interest would accrue to each of the accounts that are within the fund as a whole.
In accordance with subcommittee discussion on Friday.
Right.
And
this again is some language that the department is aware of, and I believe is consistent with what they would feel appropriate. So, okay, then I think that you would want some language that would, again, immediately follow what I just read to you, some language that would say something such as, should monies credited to any one account be withdrawn for purposes other than the program or activity for which that account is established, interest shall accrue on the amount withdrawn from the date of withdrawal and until such funds are restored. So if they move money from one account to handle cash flow problems in another account, interest begins to accrue on the withdrawal and is paid at the time the money is withdrawn.
That's consistent
with our discussion.
Yeah.
And I think the department has agreed that that's a reasonable thing to do also. All right, then in line 15, you have agreed, I think, to delete the words beginning at the end of line 15, to the greatest extent possible.
We were talking reporting to the executive department. Were you going to do that in budget language or in the bill? I thought we were going to do that in the bill.
Okay, I thought you were going to do that in the budget language, but...
There's two pieces. There was one agreement, I think, that we had reached that there'd be a quarterly report to the executive department on the status of basically loans from one account to another within the fund. And then in budget language, that the legislative review agency could have access to that. And that wouldn't be in the statute, but it would be in the budget language.
So the quarterly reporting is something that you'd like to see in the statute. Bill itself.
Mr. Chairman.
There was.
I can't recall if this is mixing in together with the lottery discussions we had this morning, but did we say that we wanted them to bring these loans current at any point?
We wanted fairly rapid payback, and that's the purpose of the reporting system, so that exec department would be aware of the status of those. And probably, I don't know where to put that intention statement.
The way I thought you wanted it written in the budget language was that it was your intent that these were short-term, they're loans of short-term duration, but I didn't hear a specific date, so it's sort of an intent. And short-term duration is, maybe you need to define that to make you feel more comfortable with that.
So, yes, sir. Representative Johnson, sir.
I think you remember that I made the statement that I didn't want to turn over into next legislative session or biennium. So then we discussed that. So I don't know that we wanted it 6 months or whatever, but the intent was there.
The intent, well, that we just had in discussion this morning on the lottery reconciliation. So we might as well put that in the statute.
Well,
balances in a biennium, Senator Hannon?
Well, that's fine. I just was going to suggest that if you want to make it for the biennium, you can in the statute, but I would leave it up to the discretion. As long as there are, and if we put an intent statement as a budget, it is an intent of the subcommittee that the agency try to bring all the accounts current as soon as possible. It may be that some of the licenses are coming due on July 1st, and you're entering into your next biennium, there may be a gap period. I don't know, because licenses are staggered for some activities, and they might run into that problem of a 30-day period of crossing that biennial date. That I think you might be locking your hands.
Okay.
Maybe Mr. Long has a different.
Okay.
I certainly interpret the guidance from the committee as far as short term, meaning a few months. The only problem I see is exactly the one that you're talking about. If you need to do something on June 15th, and then you say you got to have it paid by the end of the biennium, you're probably just set off an e-board request and some other problems, so.
I think that's a valid point.
Well, Paul, I was referring to that if you run that loan from the beginning till the 15th of June of the end of the biennium, then
right.
I didn't think that's quite fair.
There's
no problem with what you're discussing there. I didn't mean that would be locked in, except that I did mean that I didn't think that the loan should last for 18 months.
Okay, here's what I think we can get out of it this way. And that, I think the reporting's going to do it. Now, we need to make sure that these are the kinds of reports that are open. Because some administrative memoranda are, some of them exempt from disclosure. So the report given on the status of the accounts and the loans is given to executive department needs to be a public record. Okay? Then I think that's really all we have to do. I think that, Mr. Long.
One suggestion that you could make that doesn't do any more than restate, I think, the constitutional obligation, but sort of underscores this for the record, that revenues have got to equal expenditures. If you put that in the same context of what you're talking about, that's clear you can't borrow yourself into the next biennium.
I think that's right. Okay.
And so then you've got kind of both. And the way it works from my perspective, we get allotments quarterly and we'll report quarterly, and the exec monitors the allotment system quarterly and we'll monitor this quarterly, and I think it fits.
Mm-hmm. I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yes, Chairman, I think we would work that way. I just have a legislative council. I think what his statement is, he doesn't want to get into popular deficit spending and constitution driven, so, but yet way the money still comes in, he needs the flexibility. So the intent's clearly on the record.
We need to be able to tell our colleagues, should they ask about this, because it is a potentially pretty hot political issue. There are special interests around some of those monies. Senator Waters.
Well, I wanted to ask Mr. Long. You said revenues and equal expenditures, you mean on each of the three separate accounts. He's nodding his head yes, and I like the business about a few months as a general thing, but I don't think we ought to hold them to bring it up at the end of each biennium, otherwise the problem is short term.
The intent is clearly a few months. The law would basically have the reporting. And then some budget language worked out. But that, I think, satisfies any concern. Okay, what else?
On page 5, there's some discussion at line 18 and 19 of the revolving account. It wasn't clear to me whether you were comfortable with $100,000 amount in the revolving account. I believe you had testimony from Mr. Brown, workers' comp, that to the extent that he felt that was needed. The old insurance program had a $100,000 revolving account, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, my notes indicated to leave it where they had recommended it.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Okay, so that would remain then. A question probably for the department on page 9, section 24. Down at the bottom of the page, beginning at lines 39, the deletions of supervising agency, and the third one, sub C, talks about the corporation division. This bill as a whole addresses workers' comp, insurance, and financial institutions, and I'm wondering about why are we deleting something that refers to corporation division in this particular bill.
Could that be old language from when S&Ls were within the corporations?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's something we ought to take a look at.
Just that's a technical type.
It is old language.
Council question. It is old.
Okay, then it should have been deleted at some time in the past.
Yeah, they used an omnibus move then, and so we still got the language, and now the time to fix it.
Urban bills I've worked on have 10 or 11 drafts, and even then, some vestige will stay there. It's in the computer. Okay.
Okay, on page 29 is one of the more significant issues that you discussed, and that's the appointment of the banking board. My understanding is that the committee wishes to have the banking board continue to be appointed by the governor and subject to the confirmation of the Senate. So I would say that this language here ought to come out. Am I correct in that understanding?
Yeah, that was the amendment. You said it was okay with the chair. Go ahead.
It was okay with the House Labor Chair said, fine, do it. Mr. Long talked with the maker of the motion that Fossey meant to be on, and that person indicated fine. And then we have a letter from a whole House committee saying, please do it.
Go for it.
So the appointment process for the banking board members would remain as it is now.
Right. Was there another one of those things in here?
Where would we amend the bill to have the director of workers' compensation continue to be confirmed by the Senate? I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, that was another question I had. The appointing authority is for all of those division heads, is the director, and it's, I'm trying to find it here. Joan, can you?
I don't know if I can.
Well, Gary?
Here we go.
Section 51 is the one that deals with reinstating that language.
Yeah.
On page 29.
Right.
Now that would respond to part of his question. Be appointed by the governor, subject to Senate confirmation.
Yeah.
Right.
So the original language would stay.
Yeah. You're going to restore the deleted language, and then you want to go back here to workers' compensation. Right.
Right. In section, if you were to look on page 2 in section 4. Section 4 gives the power to the director to appoint all of the department and division administrators. Look on line 43. Each division or office shall be under the supervision of a person appointed by the director with the approval of the governor. To me, that means the workers' comp director as well as financial institutions and insurance. Isn't that correct? The authority is right there. So if you wanted to, if you were to pull out the authority to appoint the director of workers' comp, then we'd have to identify that in this section here.
Where did Stan Long disappear to? He's there just a minute now.
Senator, he went to testify at another committee. One thing you might want to consider is how this bill is drafted. The workers' comp as a division isn't set in statute, and the administrator's position isn't set in statute. It's not a statutory position. And the director has the authority to point the subordinate employees to administer the divisions as they're organized.
Well,
and workers' comp, Mr. Chairman, a workers' comp? Who appoints the workers' compensation board? The governor.
The board, right, continues as it is with.
Part of this here is putting the board right under the director's control, isn't it?
The board remains as a separate body, and the appointing authority for that board doesn't change. It remains as a statutory body.
Senator, on line 34, page 2.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm looking at. It said Workers' Compensation Board is transferred to the Department of Insurance and Finance. The board shall continue as an independent agency. And say who's going to appoint who after that date. It says you're transferred over there.
But the law that provides for the appointment of the board members is not amended in any way by this bill, so that the appointment of the board members continues to be by the governor.
Okay, but Senator
Wires, I think Senator Wires raises a very valid point. If you have to
discern there who is clearly the appointing authority.
Yes, I think that we do run a serious problem here. Although the workers' compensation statutes are not being amended, we are moving workers' compensation board over to finance and insurance. And it should be clearly stated who's going to make the appointment. Just the same as the banking board, just the same as these other positions.
This specific one you're raising, well, you're raising generally then for all positions?
No.
For, okay.
We just for clearly dealt with in Section 51, the issue of the banking board.
Okay.
Being appointed by the governor and Senate confirmation. I think Senator Wires asked a very legitimate point here about who's going to appoint the director of the Workers' Compensation Department. And is it, in fact, going to be confirmed as is under the Senate? Under what I read here in this language, you're allowing the director, now the insurance and the finance section, to appoint the director of workers' comp.
That is correct.
That's
exactly correct.
And I think that's a very valid point you asked.
Okay. That issue we will have to deal with at another, at the time when we bring this budget back to put the workers' comp numbers in, we will then deal with the issue. It would be unfair to do it without participation from Mr. Long.
Yeah,
we've
that's
got
fine.
2 cents.
Public Safety of the Joint Ways Means Committee meeting, May 29th, 1987, 1:30 p.m., room H174.
Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means will come to order. Open a work session on House Bill 5005. And I don't know who wishes to appear. I do have a question. The last time we met, there was some discussion about the desire on the part of the agency, or the entity, I guess more properly, I should call it, that it be free from the executive and the legislative review processes, and then the subcommittee decided, well, if that were the case, then they didn't need a budget, and so that was the end of that. Now I guess things have changed, and maybe I could have the change described to me. There's a Senate Bill, 282?
Yes, sir, it's Senate Bill 282. It's in the T&D committee. There have been amendments. We do not have copies of the amendments, but Mr. Embry and Mr. Ballou probably will be able to speak accurately to the content of those amendments.
So whoever wants to speak to that, just identify yourself so we have a record of it.
I'm John Ballou, president of ORTDC.
Wayne Embry, I'm deputy director of the Resource and Technology Development Corporation.
Mm-hmm. So now, does the agency wish now to submit to executive and legislative budget review?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we, after our initial hearing on House Bill 5005, we talked to the co-chairs of the Trade and Economic Development Committee, transferred your concerns to them, and they took the exemptions from executive and legislative budget oversight out of the bill. That was in the bill as it had been introduced by the committee, and they were happy to comply with that.
Good.
And we have no problem with that either.
Excellent. Well then, we can proceed with the budget. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Chairman, are the budget materials that you had before you last time that you met. But rather than have you go through that material, perhaps in reference, I put together just a handwritten sheet along with a revised summary of a amended budget proposal prepared by the agency and the executive department, which was before you last time and you had available for your review. It's a total budget of $610,518. If I could refer to the existing handout first, just to give you a synopsis of what 87-89 looks like. Mr. Embry, it was was in the process of putting a 85-87 recap on the board. While he's doing that, I'll bring you up to date on where they are for 87-89.
Okay.
As you'll recall, Chapter 814 last session provided for some percentage of lottery funds to be going into the ORTDC program, and the total amount of monies that have come in to benefit that program from lottery revenues, and we have not had these figures before us before because we've just received the final allocation of lottery revenues, but the Oregon Resources and Technology Development Corporation was estimated when the program started that it would be capitalized over this first biennium to the tune of $10 million. They in fact have been given $5.4 million through June 30th of 1987. There are no monies under existing law anticipated for transfer into that program. Senate Bill 964, which is currently before the Subcommittee on Economic Development and Natural Resources, has in it, as it comes to you from the Trade and Economic Development Committee, an additional $3 million in lottery funds, which would give them a larger capitalization in 1987-89 than they had in 85-87.
Well, would it? I thought you said about $5.4 million came in current biennium, and then projected for next biennium would be 5.37.
Well, out of that first biennium, there was an amount of money for administration, and what I have shown you on this handout is net of the administrative cost for 87-89.
I got it. Rep. Jones?
Ken, I thought you used a figure of $600 million or something when we started with it.
$610,000 is what's proposed in the recommended budget.
Well, I can find that in here.
You'll find that on that horizontal spreadsheet down in the right-hand bottom corner.
If you had three more zeros to that, I couldn't find it.
The carryover balance, the total loans made during this last biennium, was approximately $2 million. So the carryover balance, including the interest earnings during this last biennium, and the interest earnings anticipated of the residual principal as it stays in the fund, will give them a total available for investment in 87-89 of $2,985,000. The agency's resources available to it for administration, according to existing law, interest out of the seed capital portion of that fund would be $114,000. In 85-87, the interest earnings added to that in 87-89, based upon their spend down model, would yield $155,000 for total resources available.
Sure. Now, Ken, this group here, or agency, or whatever you want to call them now, what do they operate off of? Do they operate off of earnings from this fund, or what?
In the first biennium, because, I'll go look for the reasons why, I'm sure it was cash flow reasons, there was an amount identified in Chapter 814 of $300,000 out of the receipts from the lottery for administration.
The reason for my question, Mr. Chairman and Ken, is are they bound by the 16%?
No, sir. That strictly relates to the lottery's administration of the lottery games. 16% only relates.
What if the earnings are not enough for them to run their outfits?
That's what this will display for you. What the existing law says is they may not touch the principal in 1987-89 and subsequent years. They might only use the interest from the seed capital fund for that purpose. And the seed capital fund will produce for them a total of $268,000.
Now, is that in the form of a trust so that it would stay at that somewhere along that level that would guarantee an income from it?
May I give you a long answer to that question?
I Yes, I'd be lucky to give any time again.
In order for this program to sustain itself, the estimates suggest that you need a range of capitalization between $13 and $25 million. That was the, I think that is the model by which other states have been, have established programs upon which this particular program is based. And so they are going to run short because their capitalization is low. They do not anticipate holding a trust, because if they did, then they wouldn't have monies available for which to make investments.
But if they got real generous, though, and loaned all of their seed capital out, then unless they got some returns right away, then they wouldn't have anything to offer.
That's right. That right? Mm-hmm.
By the end of this biennium, with no additional infusion of dollars, the way they've modeled it, they would have no money left at the end of the biennium, as I understand it. They may want
what
to
clarify. What happens then?
Their continued operation does anticipate the $3 million that's in Senate Bill 964.
Right, and that's in Senator Wire's subcommittee. It's one of the other reasons we wanted to schedule this bill early, so we can figure out what kind of figure, if any, Senator Wire should plug in.
Well, then, is there any way to get a $13 million figure from that bill, where it's going to come from, and what
lottery
it's
going to money do to would be $3 million out of the $60 million that's estimated for the lottery. $3 million of that would go
to this seat.
To add to this, and Mr. Jones has shown this here.
I see. He's got
Mr. Chairman.
He's got, yes, Ms. Jackson.
I think though we should add one caveat to all of this, and that is that Senate Bill 282 that you referred to earlier regarding the exemption clause, there's another provision in 282 that would allow the agency to utilize their principal funds in order for administration.
Right, their flesh.
That would, that's right. That's the term others have used. But it does. It would allow it to do that.
Yes, Chairman. So,
Senator Hannon.
Charlene, does the governor have some more specific instruction? I feel like we're playing a sham game here. To generate this kind of money and only deal with the interest, and Mr. Jones just indicated $13 million was actually really needed to achieve anything, then who are we really trying to pretend that we're trying to help?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, that's really what I was referencing. The governor supported for this agency a statutory change to the provision that would change the statutes that would allow the agency not to have to just live off of their interest or investment earnings, but would allow them to use the total fund that's available to them for administration as well.
Is the and then, bill moving through the pipeline?
Yes, I believe it is.
And where is that bill at?
Mr. Chairman.
It's out of the T&E committee, but I'm not sure where it is.
As my understanding is the amendments have not been completed by legislative council and the bill has not yet been engrossed.
You know, it might be a very good idea if that bill were to come down to Ways and Means. In that way, maybe that would help us to release this budget in some way in the future.
Lacking some coordination here. We have a bill in Senator Wire's subcommittee. We have this bill in here, and then we have this other
282.
So I heard a rumor Senator Cohen, the Senate co-chair of T&E, might be down here. We could just ask her if that was her intention, was to move it down to Ways and Means. I don't know, Representative Agron's is here. He's on the committee.
I might help a little bit.
If I may
help,
shift over.
Give you a little bit of perspective on the issue that you're discussing right now. Trade and Economic Development Committee, when it was confronted with the governor's budget, and Carleen will remember well because she became the brunt of a vicious and savage attack, and I was the one who coined the term eating your own flesh. It was totally repugnant to the Trade Committee, and that was never our intention. And I think it's been accurately pointed out that the corporation has never been given the base funding that it needs. And then to further say, okay, now you can sit here and eat your own flesh, you might as well just devour yourself, and you never really got in business, so we'll finish you off. I mean, it was a terrible thing. And Carly ran into trouble, too, because she kept calling it an agency, you see, and we never have regarded it as an agency. It was intended not to be an agency, but rather to be as freestanding a venture capital corporation as we could constitutionally make it, so that it could do its job in that fashion, you see. Confronted now with, first of all, a shortfall in the lottery revenues, and still not having appropriately capitalized it. And as the trade committee looked at the available lottery funds and the regional strategies and the other funds and so forth, and developed our perception of allocation, it seemed like about the best that we could recommend would be an additional $3 million in capitalization for the corporation, looking at the other priorities and the available funds. That still does, and I would point out to you that the Trade Committee considers it a very high priority that this corporation eventually get funded and that it succeed. We're very encouraged by the amount of work that they've accomplished over the last biennium, and if we could fund them all the way, or if Ways and Means, you know, were to see that possibility, so that it could get fully funded and then go off and do its thing.
No, fully funded. Do you agree that's the $13 to $25 million dollar range?
Yeah.
Senator Wires, do you think there's that kind of room in the lottery budget? You can say no.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we agreed with that too, Mr. Chairman, and so we said, well, that's a suggestion that we made, but one of the hotly discussed issues in Trade Committee, and generally agreed to by both the House and Senate members, is that as quickly as possible, this corporation needs to be funded, and then, you know, off the list, out of the way, as far as any. If it is to become an agency and to be subject to annual funding, that's not at all what we have in mind, or ever had in mind. And yet, because of the shortfall and the scarcity of lottery dollars, we're sort of in that posture until it gets up and going.
So, with the situation then, if we went ahead with, I guess, the plan, that's a $3 million, doesn't really change the situation, still undercapitalized, be back again next biennium, and for biennia to come, maybe.
Hopefully, if it could, if it doesn't complete at this time, maybe next.
Yeah. So, Mr. Jones, why don't you tell us where we are?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the corporation, I want to say these in complimentary terms, because they've been very straightforward with us in our analysis of this program. There is the anticipation, as I understand it, that the $3 million infusion of capital would also go out in loans, and that there, in effect, would have a zero balance at June 30th, which means that not a $3 million infusion in 89-91 in order to sustain what they're doing, planning to do in 87-89, but a $6 million infusion. And so it seems that the farther delayed in terms of capitalization, the greater the resource necessary to maintain current operations in terms of lending program. Having said that, I think that perhaps you might want a summary review of the budget, and that's not difficult to do. It's rather straightforward. There's 4 FTE in the budget plus the service and supply costs. There's some out-of-state travel in this budget. There's some technical assistance. There is a significant amount of money for attorney general costs. And we have looked at alternatives to funding at the requested level. We are impressed with the due diligence work that this agency does with the loan applications that it has received and has looked at seriously and given consideration for funding. it does take some manpower and some expertise in terms of reviewing these proposals and then preparing a debt equity partnership with that applicant.
Yeah, Ken, now I'm under budget support documents back here, and in 85, this 12 or 13 million that's listed here, was that a projection that never materialized?
Mm-hmm.
Again, so were we off that much and that we're down now to 1.2 or 1.5 or whatever the figure might be? The actual, I guess.
I have in my spreadsheets a $10 million capitalization from an $85 million estimate for lottery revenues. I don't recall, was there a kicker for the $92 million before RTDC would bring it up to the $13 million? So that's where the $13 million comes from, if lottery revenues in fact had achieved the $92 million.
But you started at 10?
Yes.
We've been tracking on 10 because we've stayed.
But we never even got close to that.
No, we ended up with 5.4.
Well, like all agencies, it was about 51,
53%.
53% is what agencies were on this percentage.
I just wanted to be sure that I was looking at what I'm looking at here. And then, of course, the requested amount for 87, 89 is 5, and the recommended amount is 2.6 on the sheet here.
Well, no, I think Mr. Jones was proceeding on their operating budget to see perhaps if there were some savings there that might alleviate that problem. Is that what you were...
Mr. Chairman, I've abandoned these budget documents because
see,
the numbers have changed.
I think
we need to do that and stay with these two summary sheets because there's enough information here, I think, to give us a good picture of what's going on, both in terms of the...
Which two summary sheets? There's a handwritten one and then there's one with lots of pictures.
Those are the two.
Okay.
The horizontal sheet gives you a synopsis of the budget, and the relevant column is the far right-hand column.
Got it.
The supplemental, that comes now from exec? Is that what that is?
Everything comes from the executive department in terms of being the governor's recommended budget.
So we have the governor's printed budget, and then we have a revised governor's budget in this last column?
Yes. And Mrs. Jackson can walk you through the reason for the changes as well as I can. Would you like me to?
Mr. Chairman, the majority of the two primary changes would fall into professional services and the attorney general costs. Mm-hmm. And the agency can really go into more detail as to why the attorney general cost is so is so high, but it's primarily tied to the need for involving the attorney general in a lot of the cases that they, as they're reviewing those cases and bringing in and making their agreements.
Yeah, they prepare the final documents.
And then they prepare. So there is an increased need more than in other agencies often to utilize the attorney general. And as you recall, this agency is it's so new. It's been in full operation. Less than the full biennia, and it was just difficult for them to project what those various costs would be. The other thing was that in between the time that the governor reviewed, or that we reviewed the budget, and then the governor made his decision, there were some additional adjustments that needed to be made in both the professional services area and the attorney general's area, and primarily. And I think that's really where you'll see the major differences.
So you went up. Now, Mr. Jones, what direction were you going to move?
Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of ways to look at this agency. One is to say that you would like to take a further look at the program and to protect some of the capital, provide additional resources to the extent that protected capital generates interest earnings, and say slow down. Don't lend out at a rate that will produce a zero balance by the end of the biennium. And by virtue of that, you could accomplish a couple of things. One is you could reduce administrative operations budget by cutting staff and support you also could reduce the amount that you'd need to capitalize into the fund from lottery revenues. That's one approach. Mm-hmm. The other approach, I think there's some risk involved, and that is the extent to which you continue to aggressively push loans with the available capital and do it with a shortage of personnel. This is not an in-basket agency. It requires a great deal of initiative on the part of staff to find good investments. And there's a philosophy there of finding good investments as opposed to waiting for someone to come along and request some additional funds. So that if you do reduce the staff level, I think that there will be some risk in terms of
keeping up with the same rate of lending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And prudence would say that if you are concerned about the size of this agency in terms of staffing and the rapid spend down of capital that gives you a difficult decision to make beginning in 1989, mm-hmm. then you would make some cuts to the agency, and you would be in a position to be able to make some reductions in the Senate Bill 964 amounts available. Mm-hmm. I think that the question of tying an agency's support to interest earnings is really an academic exercise. It doesn't matter from an analytical perspective whether it comes from interest earnings or principal earnings. If you're going to fund the agency, then they ought to be secure in the funding level approved by the Legislative Assembly.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, a question of you or Ken or somebody. How are the other parts of this lottery handled, like the infrastructure and any other funds that are put out other than what are statutory, and that was the $31 million that you provided for cabinet construction, but there was a lot of other things, and the infrastructure was one of them.
Ms. Jackson.
How are they handled? Who decides whether it's a worthwhile project? These were grants, if I remember, because I think Lake County did about as well as any other of the small counties around receiving them, and Harney County did. Now here County hasn't got any yet, but we're living in hope. But now who is that? Department of Economic Development, are they the agency that decides on them?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, if you're referring to the Public Works program under the current biennium, because the governor has proposed, and now the Trade and Economic Development Committee has proposed even different directions for some of those, but if you're talking about the current biennium program, that's being run by the Executive Department Intergovernmental Relations Division.
And funded by what?
By lottery.
The time and effort that the executive department puts into that is kept track of and paid for out of lottery fund, just out of the general fund?
No, the emergency board during the 85-87 session allowed the Intergovernmental Relations Division to bring on board, I don't remember the number, but I think it's about 9 limited duration positions, maybe it was less than that, maybe,
but paid for out of lottery,
that would administer that particular program.
However,
and those positions are gone at the end of this biennium.
That policy probably will only be explored in the next biennium. That was Senator Wire's committee's instructions just this morning or the other day.
Now then, Mr. Chairman, under the new proposal this time to put a block of money in DED, mm-hmm. would more or less take up or gobble up all of those other things that we were doing in this particular biennium.
Well,
or I mean, the change would be there, and it would be all under DED now.
Yeah, well, next biennium, DED, general funded state agency, will be a key player in making this recommendations on the distribution of lottery funds, and will be paid for by the general fund. There will be
because we don't have IDR.
That's been rolled into EDD.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, there are a number, as you remember, of other projects.
That's
there were projects that went to higher education and just a number of other projects. That was just one of many projects.
However, this one is still separate, this particular.
This is the only one, I think, that's like this. This is an entity,
that
not
is
an
separate
agency.
And
yeah.
Funded differently from with no general fund help like DED gives
right.
With the Hanlon and the other one.
Exactly. So I think that, as I heard Mr. Jones's recommendation, that there was basically two options. Okay, and the first option would be slow down the loans, and that would mean there'd be reduced workload so that you could reduce the staff and support accordingly. And since the loans were slowed down, you could also reduce lottery revenue. That would be one option. And then the 89 legislature would be confronted with a slightly lower than $6 million figure, but still the same problem, not enough capitalization, right? That's option one.
Quite a bit less than 6 million.
Quite a bit less? Okay, so you have a smaller bite, because we don't assume lottery funds are going to go taking off, because we have a better handle now what those things do. Then, well, we're going to use a realistic revenue estimate, and that's a key decision, because then the decisions that come out of lottery we're going to know are going to be funded. It's a lot better than using Budget Bob's number from last session. Option two would be to continue the same rate of loans, keep the staff as it is. Then I read that as what you do is then to agree to fold them in to the Economic Development Department in the next biennium. And then would no longer exist.
Or
Representative Agrons.
Fund them in the next biennium.
But
out of lottery dollars, complete the funding and turn them loose like they were always intended to be.
Well, the problem with Mr. Jones.
Representative McCracken. The question perhaps could be asked, if you went ahead in an aggressive lending policy,
mm-hmm.
would you, and you were to say, all right, this organization sine dies, it terminates on June 30th of 1989, but that there would, that could we assume that there would be enough information for the 1989 Legislative Assembly as to the effectiveness of the program to as of that date,
comment,
so that you could decide then whether it's worth continuing to fund or not.
So we'd sunset it at the end of the next legislative session, giving that session an opportunity to evaluate it. Representative Agrons.
The original bill had a review period at the end of 6 years.
1992.
The experience with the several other similar corporations in the